Welcome to the Vineyard Cincinnati podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from one of our weekend services. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.
Well, how was your work week? Was your work week fantastic? Thank you, one person, two, three people. How many of you had just a mediocre work week? It was fine. It was just okay. Okay, and you're like, I'm not even really going to clap. I'll just kind of go like that. I had some emails and testimony of people who had their work week really changed because the Word of God can transform your mind and renew your mind. This is the goal of this series, that we would have our mind renewed about our work. And we're going to continue on in this God at Work series. Yeah, I'm going to need that eventually, but not yet. Okay, we might as well now that we've ruined the moment. Thanks. I'm not going to borrow it. I'm going to steal it forever, never giving it back. Okay, we okay? Okay, it does have the page I want. Of course, I had a great week at work. I always have a great week at work. I have the best job in the world, and I only work one day a week, and we're almost done. I mean, I only work till 1 o'clock, right? So it's pretty easy. And every week at work, I mean, I'm surrounded by spirit-filled, Christian, wonderful people. I mean, it's just unicorns and lollipops, rainbows, gumdrops. It's awesome. Matter of fact, this past week, there was a staff member whose wife is a teacher, and in her class, she this week asked her students to fill out this little form, and they sent me this text. They said, you're not going to believe this, and this little form for a student filled this out. Check this out. We'll start at the top of this, and look at this. It says, hashtag favorite and least favorite subjects, science and math. Hashtag hobbies and interests, school and games. Hashtag family life, good. Hashtag heroes and role models, Captain America, Rob King. I have the best job in the world, and I know what you're thinking, if you're thinking what I'm thinking. That Captain America. He always beats me out. I hate being second to Captain America. Can't tell you, about a dollar for every time that happens. There is some student out there who goes to church here who holds me in such high esteem. Why? I have the best job in the world. I don't know what your job was like this week. Maybe if you were totally honest underneath, just right below where your kind of Christianity stops, you really don't like the people that you work with. You don't like your boss. And you just go into a rough place every single day. And my heart goes out to you. We're praying for you. We're believing this series is going to help you and encourage you. Maybe you had a week like Dwight Schrute. I don't know. My 18-year-old daughter and I will binge watch The Office still. And maybe you had this kind of week. Check this out.
But you want to initial one of those.
Where is my desk?
That is weird.
This is not funny. This is totally unprofessional.
Okay, well, you're the one who lost the desk.
I didn't lose my desk.
Okay, calm down. Where was the last place you saw it?
Okay, who moved my desk?
I think you should retrace your steps.
Okay, I am going to tell Michael, and this entire office will be punished.
Colder. Warmer. A little warmer. There you go. Ooh, warmer. 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 Cold, cold, cold. Back up. Ooh. Ooh, warmer. Hot. Red hot. Hot. Very hot.
Dwight Schrute.
Hi, Dwight. What sort of discounts are we giving on the 20-pound white bond?
Jim, I've given you this information like 20 times.
I know.
It's by the ream.
Yeah.
It is now 978, so it's a discount of 7%.
Okay, thank you. Got to get back to work.
I mean, you had a rough week, but was your desk in the bathroom? So, you know, there's a bright side to it. Last week when I was talking, I said that I had an encounter with a guy, and he came back, and he was kind of sheepish, and he said, am I talking to Rob the pastor, or am I talking to Rob the man? We're talking about the fact that unfortunately, you're talking to both all at once. We have one life. It's easy to look at, you know, Captain America and Pastor Rob and think, oh, that's the spiritual life. And that counts. And then to take our other part of our life, our work life, and it's secular and it's separate. This is one of the things that we're doing as we go through this series, is to show that we have one life. I was reading a story from a book by a leadership kind of guru, John Maxwell. He was consulting these folks. He was in a boardroom, and there was all these business leaders and entrepreneurs, men and women, who were sitting around the table, and one of them's name was Charlie, and he was a very enthusiastic, passionate leader, and he happened to be Italian, and he just full of life, and kind of his heart on his sleeve all the time, and he just couldn't help, he had to share. He said, I have a dilemma in the company that I lead. See, he had just come and given his life to Christ, and he was this business person in this kind of cutthroat industry, and he said, I have a dilemma because my employees tell me that there's two different Charlies that show up to work. There's Charlie Love. And Charlie Love is the one who shows up and it's just peace and wonderful and there's a bigger picture and there's patience and kindness. This is like the Christian Charlie. And when people see this Charlie come in, they're really happy and they're content and they're glad that he's there. He said, but there's another. There's kind of this Jekyll and Hyde going on. He said, there's this other Charlie that shows up that my employees have told me about. He's called Charlie Money. And Charlie Money shows up. And he's cracking the whip, and he's expecting results, and he's all about accountability, and he's all about profitability, and people run and hide and shut the door whenever Charlie Money shows up. So he just very vulnerably shares with Maxwell and these others around the table, what do I do? I've got this dilemma. These two people are showing up to work, and I think I'm schizophrenic in this job, and I don't know exactly what to do. One guy immediately spoke up, and he was a Christian guy, and he spoke up, and he said, oh, this is easy. He said, Charlie Love needs to take Charlie Money and needs to drag him down to the basement and kill him. And then he had scriptures to back it up. And then they all kind of got quiet and looked around and looked at Maxwell was there and he was kind of going to give them some advice. And so he said, no offense, I completely disagree with this man's opinion and his synopsis. He said, here's what I think needs to happen. He said, Charlie Love and Charlie Money need to be introduced to one another, and they need to live in the same skin. And he said, you need to go to work with the shoes of faith, and you need to go ahead and wear the business suit that you have. In other words, you need to take your Christianity with you, and you need to take all of your business acumen and all of your talent and abilities and skill in leadership, and those need to coalesce. It's not the kingdom against the commercial world. It's both of them working together. I believe in a theology of Old MacDonald. Old MacDonald had E-I-E-I-O, and on his farm he had a duck, E-I-E-I-O, what did he have if he had a duck? He had a quack quack, and a quack quack, here, there, everywhere. Man, you didn't know what you were going to get to do in church today, did you? This is heavy stuff. I hope you can hang with me. Old MacDonald theology says you're a Christian when you're here. You're a Christian when you're in the parking lot, some of you. Some of you challenge. You like lose your salvation right in line. Let me tell you how a pastor looks at a line of cars outside a church. Glory to God. That's what we say. More people praise Jesus, right? We don't get upset at all. But you're a Christian when you're in the parking lot. You're a Christian when you're on the job. You're a Christian when you're at Walmart. You're a Christian when you're alone. You're a Christian when you're at home. Here a Christian, there a Christian. Everywhere a Christian. This is Old MacDonald theology. And this is somebody who's making farm noises. It's why I love this church. And this is why we're talking about the fact that we have this ministry called One Life. We have one life that we are living, and we're living it all for God. God is involved in every area of your life. And if your work life consumes a third of your waking hours, and some of you it takes up some of your sleeping hours too, then how much is God involved in your work? If you look in your program, which I just happened to bring with me today. There on the back says, God at work, and it's perforated. It costs a little more to do that, but you're worth it. Here's why we did it. For business owners and business leaders, we want you to get involved in One Life Ministry. If you're a business owner or business leader, can I have your attention for just a moment as your pastor? I want every business owner and every business leader to get involved in One Life. There's two reasons. Number one, you may not be aware of how many people are in the same situation that you're in as you go to work every single day making the hard decisions and trying to live this Christian life. There are people, men and women, who will gather around you, pray for you, encourage you, hold you accountable, and help you, and you need that. The second reason is the church needs you. This place is filled with leaders, but I know how a leader thinks. You kind of sneak into church. You've been working hard all week long, and you kind of sneak into church. Are we okay right now? And you're like, I don't want to do anything else. I don't, man, I've been working. And then you kind of sneak out. Well, I'm putting you on alert right now. I want you to be involved in this ministry because we need your leadership gifts. And then the second thing is this. For everyone in the workplace, you can check to be connected to a six-week God at Work life group. We have life group leaders who are ready right now to lead a group. The cool thing about the six-week part, it's only 6 weeks. And even if you don't really care for the people in your small group that much, it's okay. They're going to be gone after 6 weeks. They might say the same about you. Also, resources to pursue the idea of living my faith out at work. Some of you have been praying and asking God and seeking God about your job, about your work, about your employment, and where are you at? And God has answered you in the form of a perforated piece of paper in your program. Glory to God. So get involved in that. Where we left off last week, we said that God started the Bible. You want to know what God thinks about work? God started in Scripture by working. And he had to rest from all the work that he did. We said work is not a four-letter word. Work is not the curse, although we do have this earth cursed, and the work that we do offers resistance, but the work in and of itself is not a curse. Work is a blessing from God, and then he took pleasure in that work. How many of you are just thankful you have a job? Amen? I mean, and work is good, and when you do something well and you have that satisfaction of a job well done, and maybe you've been able to use your skills and your abilities, and you look back on it, and you can take satisfaction in that, and that is a gift from Almighty God. We also said that you will have work in heaven. Why will you have work in heaven? Because work was before the fall. Work existed in paradise, therefore work will exist for eternity. But the difference will be that there will be no resistance to the work. When you get to heaven, God is going to give you a brand new name. And in that name, it's going to capture all, listen to me, all of who you are, created to be in him. And you will lead things, and you will build things, and you will cultivate things, and you will grow things, and there will be no earthly resistance. There will be no gravitational pull, and there won't be any jerky people in the cubicle next to you. They'll all be loving Jesus. Here's how, this is the miracle of heaven. You'll actually enjoy the same music. It'll be amazing. It's a miracle. It'll all be worship to him, and the stuff that you do will bring you great satisfaction and great pleasure. Why? Because it will be a service that no one else can render in all of heaven to the people that are around you, and it'll give complete and utter glory to God, the one who you visit, well, every lunch hour if you want, because he's right there. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place, and work is going to be a part of it. But that was stuff we talked about last week. What we want to talk about this week in this God at Work series is the fact that you are called and you are on an assignment. I just saw the Blues Brothers in my mind. From Almighty God. You are on an assignment from Almighty God in the work that you are currently doing. So we begin Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Here's the work that God gave us. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave us a job description, and the interesting thing about it is that he started by cultivating the earth. He provided for the earth. He made a way for us to be provided for and taken care of. And he cultivated. He was a gardener. And a gardener removes the things that are bad and it puts in the things that are good. And then he gives to us the same job description that he had. Continue on in what I actually started. We are cultivating and we are culture makers. God could have created the whole known universe. He could have made every society. He could have made all the people. But he didn't want to. He wanted you to be involved in that. And he could have made societies. He could have made all the technology that we have today. But he didn't want to do all that. He wanted you to continue the work that he started. When you work, you are a cultivator. What are you doing? Creating society. Creating culture. You're doing the very same thing. When you work, you're doing what God wanted you to do. Now, subdue the earth doesn't mean dominate the earth in a bad way. It means to care for the earth like a gardener would care for the earth. You bring the best out of everything that you do, and you continue as a trustee of God, as a servant of his, as a steward of his, as a custodian of what he's given you. Does this make sense? So the very same work that God was doing, then he said, I want you to have the joy of continuing this work. What does this mean for us? As stewards and trustees of what God has given us, this means we're called to continue God's work of creating and cultivating. Listen, continuing his work as our way to love and give service to God and to others. To love and give service to others. We continue this work. So, for example, teachers. I was in love with my third grade teacher. Her name is Miss Battistella, but she ran off and got married to some other guy. What was I, like 8 years old? But I was sure we had a future together, me and Miss Battistella. She created an incredible culture. And see, as teachers, you create culture. That's where we get from the word cultivate. It's where we get culture. And what's beautiful about, I mean, when you take your kid to school, some of you are like, tomorrow you get to take your kids to school, or we already did. We had the blessing of like dropping my sixth grader off and like watching him walk away. Love ya. Just so thankful for teachers at that moment, because sometimes when you have a sixth grade boy, you just want to watch him walk away. Am I right? You're like, go bless somebody else for the rest of the day. This is going to be awesome. And you go and you meet the teacher, and when you meet the teacher, I mean, it's phenomenal, the gifts and abilities that these teachers have, and they have everything like totally organized. Did you get your folder? And you have this on the thing, and all their, I couldn't even do one bulletin board. Are you kidding me? And they create this incredible culture of love and care and concern and hope and faith and forgiveness and grace. They have an entire world in their classroom. And they have our kids in there for that day. I think of Mrs. Battistella because, her voice was wonderful and she was beautiful and I wanted to marry her. But here's why. She created a culture of love and grace and community and forgiveness. And on Fridays, we had pretend money and we'd go around and we all had little businesses that we had and we had checkbooks and stuff. This was back when they used what we call checkbooks. So we would go around and then we had a news station. We'd write stories. Do you remember your third grade teacher? I mean, I remember my fourth grade teacher, my fifth grade teacher, my sixth grade. You remember them. Why? Because they were building and cultivating and they had a culture going on in their classroom. If you're a teacher, you're doing God's work. If you're a coach, you're doing God's work. If you're an EMT, you're doing God's work. If you're answering the phone for a healthcare agency, glory to God. I just lost some of you on that. You're doing God's work. You're cultivating, you're creating culture. You're making a difference where you're at. You're doing his work. There's a guy who was on our board. His name is Kyle. Kyle's an engineer at P&G, and he's a pretty quiet guy, really smart, and I went to P&G, and I like to go, I went around to the different board members where they work to see where they work and what they're doing. When I went to P&G, he's a pretty quiet guy, until he started talking about Gillette Fusion Sensitive Gel 2-in-1. Dude, he just came alive. I know what you're thinking. Why wouldn't you just come alive? I mean, it's shaving cream. And He just came alive, and there was a three-year process that he had to go through as he was engineering this revolutionary, it does not ever rust. It has a reader indicator on the side, which has never been done. And the pressure, I mean, you can lock it down up here, and the ease with which you can push this button and have this incredible gel come out in your hand. And it doesn't come out as foam. It comes out as this wonderful blue stuff. It's so fantastic. You need to experience this. Do I have a volunteer over in this area? Why is it always a female? Can I have a guy? Is there a gentleman? Why are you pointing at other people? Forget this section. There's a gentleman right here. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You have your hand up. Would you be willing to come up here? What's your name? Kalani. Say it again.
Kalani.
It's good to meet you. Everybody give it up for Kalani. So glad you're here today. Okay, so take some of that. Now, do me a favor. Do you have a friend that's here or family or anybody? Your brother? Okay, your brother, come on up here. So would you just be willing to, now you said you were and you got up and you came over to me, okay? Would you just be willing to put a little bit of this on your face? Now, I want you to watch this. Yeah, rub it right in one spot. And did you see how that foamed up? It was blue when it started. But because of what Kyle did with the magic of this, it's now white. And now, would you just smell that? What'd you say?
It smells good.
It smells good, doesn't it? It's wonderful stuff. It's good stuff. Now, you don't use it because you have some nice facial hair there, as you both do. But I'm going to give this to you as a gift because you're willing. I'll give you a couple of those. Okay. Would you give it up for these two right here? So, you say, Rob, is that really God's work? I mean, Kyle's an engineer. He goes to work every day at P&G, and he creates this. He creates shaving cream, I mean, for a living. And now he's probably onto something even more wonderful, if there could be anything more wonderful than that. It really does smell good. He's using his gifts and his abilities, his talents that are God-given, in order to create something. I mean, do we have to have that product? No, we get to have that product, see? And we get to have the things that are created. What if everybody just stopped working? What if everybody just stopped working and said, you know what, we don't believe in work anymore? There's one you'd miss for sure, Rumpke, or whoever it is that hauls away your trash, because some of you are looking forward to the trash day. You have one of those weeks where it's like, we're piled, high and wide, kids, just cuttered back, because we're not going to make it, and then you've had that moment where you hear the trash can come around, the trash man is coming, right? And you hear it, and you're inside your house in your pajamas, and you have no pride, do you? I mean, I feel sorry for the people who collect trash because they have to see us running out in our pajamas like, no, don't go. We have to have you, right? We have to get rid of this trash right now. What will we ever do? Work is valuable, and all work is valuable, and it all creates culture and society. And every technological advance isn't from the enemy, folks. I know that all things can be used for evil, but the devil never created anything. Amen. He never created anything. He only destroys stuff. You and me, made in God's image, we're the ones that are doing his work by creating and cultivating, by caring, by serving others, by serving God. We were sitting in a senior director meeting maybe a week or two ago here at the church. There's over 100 employees. We were sitting with a group of about 10 or 11 of us. And one of the questions that we were asking one another, and it was my turn to answer the question, what do you get to do at work every day that you love? And I said, man, one of the things that I really love about my job is that I get to influence culture. So I spent the first few months asking my assistant, can I do that? And she's like, you're the pastor, you can do that. I'm like, sweet, I love this job, you know. I'd ask Eric Ferris, can I do this? And he'd be like, you're the senior pastor. I'm like, sweet, I love this job. So for example, setting up for our staff, making sure that they're all paid well. This is a nonprofit organization, but I will tell you, our staff does enjoy getting paid. They do like to profit, okay? And just like in the job that you're doing, you don't mind that they give you a paycheck. Not the only reason you do it, but you don't reject it and send it back. And what I love about, one of the things that I love about what I get to do is like setting up a 403B where we have matching up to like 3 or 4%, which a lot of churches don't get to do that. But you know what? We get to do that here because we want to be a blessing to the people that work here as much as absolutely possible. And we get to influence that culture. And that's what I love doing. One of the things I love doing most at the job is being able to cultivate that kind of culture. We want one of accountability and respect, and where people know what their job is and they know who their boss is, and they have everything that they need to do the job that they love. And so, but that's one of the things that I love to do is help create that culture. What are you doing? You're doing the work of God in the job where you're at. You're helping the culture of your employer. You're blessing them and you're serving people with what you're doing. Our city would not be what it is today if it weren't for P&G, if it weren't for AK Steel. If it weren't, we don't worship these businesses, but the fact of the matter is they're doing a lot to create the standard of living and the culture that we live in. I talk to a lot of people who've worked for P&G and they will brag about the culture that has been created by them. You as an employer, you as an employee, you get to set the culture, the feeling around the office where you're at, and that's God's work. That's what he loves. That's what he loves to do, and that's what he's given us to do. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says this. Paul's talking here, and he said, "Nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in whatever situation the Lord has assigned to them, just as God has called them." He said, "This is the rule that I lay down for all the churches." And what he was saying was, there's a whole bunch of, what was happening, a whole bunch of people were giving their life to Jesus. They were being radically transformed from the inside, and they were spiritually made new, and they were just convinced that they now needed to leave their current job and go into full-time ministry. They were convinced now, because their life had been changed by Christ, that they were sure that they could no longer be married to this person. Are you with me right now? They had to be married to someone. And Paul's like, no, whoa. Stay where you're at. Stay in your place. You've been called there and you've been assigned there. The same Greek words called and assigned are the same words that he used when he was talking about the fact that you're assigned by the Holy Spirit certain gifts. You're called by the Holy Spirit and filled by the Holy Spirit. The same words were used. I'm going to tell you something today that I hope by the help of the Holy Spirit, this gets into our heart and mind about work. Your current work is an assignment from God. What would happen if you saw your current work as an assignment from Almighty God? Well, for one, it got real quiet in here. Would I have to stop complaining about my current job? Yes, you would. Because every complaint that ever comes out of your mouth goes straight to heaven anyway. And if you see your current work as an assignment from God, you realize you're not working for the man. You're working for the man. You realize that you're not working for just the boss that you have. You're working for the God above your boss. There's somebody higher than the boss you're working for. And that's the one you're working for. And that's why you can work for the one that you're working for that's below the one you're really working for. The only way you can work for that one is because you have one higher than that one. My experience has been, as I accept the thing that I'm doing right now, one time I was working at when I came back to Christ, I took every job I could. I had some legal trouble. We can't get into that story. And I had some bills to pay. And so I just took the jobs, man. And I was working at a Dollar Cinema. Do they even have Dollar Cinemas anymore? I will have you know I was assistant to the regional manager. I was assistant manager there while I was there. So that meant I was in charge of like nothing. I put the popcorn in the machine. You know, this was back when movies were still on big flat things. You had to actually wind them into Nevermind. And I worked there. And I just worked as unto the Lord. I said, "This is a job from you, Lord." And I delivered one time when I was just coming back to the Lord, I worked for a chemical company, and one of the things that we did, we drove a van around and I delivered stuff, and one of the things we did was we delivered toilet paper to rest stops. Glorious, glamorous work. And I did it as a calling from Almighty God. "God, you have sent me to bring this toilet paper, Lord Jesus." I'm not going there. And so, but I did that as unto the Lord. The job that you have right now, what would happen if you would see that as an assignment from Almighty God? It is full-time ministry. It's your work that he has given you that you can work unto him. I can tell you that your work has inherent dignity because God worked first. One of the best things about understanding what work is according to Scripture and according to our God is that all work All work has dignity. That means that we don't think less of a concierge or more of a doctor or less of a dentist or more. You see, have you ever met a really humble doctor? Have you ever met a really arrogant doctor? I met a really humble one, and he was from UC, and he was just wonderful, and he cared about people. He gave me his business card, wrote his cell phone number on there. He said, if you ever need anything, you just call me. I'm like, that's what it should be about. There's so many times that when we're looking for a job, we'll work jobs that we're not qualified for or even gifted for just because of the prestige that they might give us or not. I met a gentleman at an automotive store. He was from the church, mid-40s, and he was telling me the story of how he ended up at this place, and I could tell that he was a little bit embarrassed because he had been working as an executive at a company, and what happens a lot of times in your mid-40s, early 50s, as you're working a job where you've got a lot of skill and a lot of ability and a lot of experience, your pay scale goes up, and if that job downsizes and you lose that job, now you're overqualified for every other job you ever look for. And if you have this idea of work that there is work that is beneath you, that's not a Christian idea of work, then you won't take the job that's available to you. But this gentleman had taken the job at an auto parts store for the time being because he wanted to provide for his family, and he took the job that he was way overqualified for because he understood the value of work. And I could tell when I was talking to him, my heart was moved a bit because I could tell he was somewhat, maybe a little bit embarrassed, and I just wanted to tell him, brother, there is no shame in taking the work that you can get when the work that you want might not be available. There's dignity in that full day's work that you've got. There's no, oh, you're better than or you're less than. When I was in graduate school, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer. Two things you should not allow to come from your work: arrogance or shame. If you're working, man, work is unto the Lord. Whatever your hand finds to do, do that with all your might. And if you're picking up trash, God bless you for that. That is not beneath any of us. You should ask yourself the question, if you lost your work right now, I know one thing, I'm not qualified to work at Chick-fil-A. I can't do it. I'd have to find something else. But I promise you this, I would find something else. And by the Spirit of God, I would do it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And there's no job, and there's no work that's beneath you because all work is dignified. I thought when I was in graduate school, I wanted to be an attorney. And the reason I wanted to be an attorney was because in my mind, it wasn't because I liked Latin. It wasn't because I liked the law. It wasn't for any of those reasons. I just pictured in my mind that someday I would be at a cocktail party and we would be there with our martinis or what have you, whatever they have at a cocktail party, and there would be philosophers there and publishers there and poets there, and I would be there and they would introduce me in my mind's eye, in my imagination. Oh, this is Rob. He's an attorney. And for that one moment, I would be someone. This is the imagination I had. And then I spent some time with my uncle, who's a judge and an attorney, and in graduate school, I had to study some about law, and I had to be actually in courtrooms for hours and hours. I wanted to sharpen a pencil and put it in my eye. I could not stand. I couldn't be an attorney for 1 minute, for 5 minutes. Boring. If you're an attorney, I'm glad you like that. That's wonderful. Really thrilled for you. I could never, ever do that. And all the time that I was in the law room and thinking about law and everything, never, never once was there this sound effect. Ever. Ever. That's what I wanted. I thought that's what it was. But what I really wanted was the prestige that came along with the work. Our tech team is awesome, are they not? I mean, you have no idea what they, you can probably imagine what they tolerate with me. And you say, oh, the ministry happens up here. No, the ministry happens in the booth. The ministry happens with the sign language folks. The ministry happens with the volunteers on the music stuff. The musicians is what I wanted to say. This is the noon service. If I had one more service, I think I'd just fall over in a heap. It'd be terrible. So listen, we don't work for money or identity alone. We work for God. You will find some of your identity in your work, no doubt. And that's the pleasure of the work, no doubt about it. And hopefully you'll get paid for some of what you do. And that's wonderful. That's great. But that's not the reason. The sole reason you make a decision to go to the next job should never be money. The sole reason you go to the next job should never be just money. You're working for more than money. You're working for God. And it's not just about the identity that we get from our work either. Can I talk to the millennials for just like 30 seconds? Is that okay? I know. I think every generation probably feels this way. When we start to enter the workforce, we have no real skill. We don't really know what we're doing. And we want to make tons of money, and we want it to totally fulfill our every want and desire. I want it to be my passion and my bliss. News update, flash, millennials. You're probably going to have to serve someone else's passion and someone else's dream before you discover your own. You're probably just going to have to go to a job that feels a whole lot like work. But work isn't a bad word. You're just going to have to go. You're going to have to apply for the job. You're going to have to get some skills. You're going to have to put in like maybe a year, two, three, four, 10, 20 years having somebody else tell you what to do, and you serve them and you do it really well. And eventually you might be in a place where you are able then to do what you're passionate about and what you're skilled at. But first, you have to build some skill and build some passion and know what you're about. And work is not a four-letter word. And the other thing is, you can't take your mom with you to the interview. That's just not okay. I think every generation suffers with this. And here's the thing. There's something wrong in our mindset about work when we think that we're going to go to work and find all of our needs met. There's only one that can meet all of your needs. It's Jesus. And you'll never find everything that you ever desire in the work that you're doing. You have to find that in Him. And if He gives you work to do and it's in front of you, do it with all your might as unto Him. And He'll bless that. He'll bless that what you do for Him. One of my favorite quotes we close with this is Martin Luther King Jr. says this: if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as a Michelangelo painted or Beethoven composed music or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Amen. Would you stand with me? We're going to pray before we go. I'll remind you that there's a prayer team and communion all across the front. Just before I pray, don't go quite yet. Also, don't forget there's One Life representatives who will be happy to take this from you at every info area on your way out. Last week we prayed at the end and we thanked God for the work. And today we're going to pray, and I just want to pray for you. And I've been praying for you and thinking about you all week. In all the work that we find ourselves doing, that we would really see it as an assignment from God and a call from God. I can't imagine if you have to go to work every single day, as much as we all work, our culture more than most, definitely more than the French, but more than most, with all the work that we do, that you would go to work and not find joy in it, or at least the pleasure of knowing that you're serving the Father, really breaks my heart. And so I just want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I just pray today. Lord, I'm fully aware, and super thankful that I'm one of those few that get to do what I really love to do, and I'm so thankful. But Father, we're thinking, and there's many people here who get to do what they love to do, they're called to do, they're teachers or engineers at P&G and all these things. But Father, there are those here among us, our brothers and sisters, who are doing stuff that they really don't like, if they were totally honest, around people that they don't necessarily like much either, in environments that are not great, cultures that are not pure and wonderful. They go into tough situations every day. So God, we lift up our brothers and sisters right now. Lord, we pray that you would surround them with your favor as with a shield, that you would give them a new heart, a new mind. God, that you would surround them with your strength, that you would give them the right words, the right ideas. Father, that you would protect them as they go into work, while they're at work, and when they leave from work. And Father, may they either be delivered to a place where they can have great joy, or may they find great joy exactly where they're at. But either way, Father, may we see you this week. May we see you this week when we're working. May you receive glory and honor and pleasure from all that we do. And may the people around us be blessed as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this message. To subscribe to our podcast or listen to other messages, go to vineyardcincinnati.com/podcast.